We've got more on the latest news with our bloggers' roundtable. The husband of Governor and Republican vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin has been subpoenaed in what's being called the Troopergate case. Senator John McCain faces the ladies of The View in a surprisingly heated interview, and issues with voting rights are already popping up in advance of the elections. Here to give us the latest, we've got Kimberly Coleman. She blogs at sistergirlspeaksup.blogspot.com, Liza Sabatura, publisher of the community blog Culture Kitchen, and Rob Redding, publisher of the online news site, The Reading News Review. Hi, guys.
Hello, Faraya.
Hello.
So let's talk politics. The so-called Troopergate situation up in Alaska heated up late last week. It's about whether Sarah Palin pressured officials to fire a state employee who would not fire her sister's ex-husband. Now, there's a retired state prosecutor hired by a bipartisan committee of the Alaska legislature. He subpoenaed Sarah Palin's husband, Todd, and a dozen other witnesses. Rob, this might have been local news a couple of weeks ago. Now it's all over the place. Do you think this investigation is going to have any impact at the polls?
Well, it should. I'm not sure whether it will or not. This is one of the reasons why her selection was ill-advised and why I've said over and over again, Sarah Palin is clearly an affirmative action pick for John McCain. I knew it was going to be a woman. I wasn't sure which woman it was going to be, but she is inherently unqualified, and this shows that she's unqualified for the position. So it should affect the polls, but, you know, and the election, but it's unclear whether it will.
Liza, I heard you chuckling at the idea of an affirmative action pick. I guess a bit of a dig at the entire use of affirmative action in public debate. What do you think of that term?
It's funny because, you know, I mean, the GOP has been rallying against affirmative action for so long. I think it's such a wasted opportunity. They could have gone with somebody like Carly Fiorina or Christine Todd Whitman, and they didn't. I completely agree. She's not prepared. She's not prepared to be a heartbeat away from the presidency. But, you know, something interesting about this Troopergate case is that an ethics consultant, I don't know the exact term, had told her and people in her administration that she needed to apologize for what happened and, you know, go and do something official that would basically put this thing to rest, and she wouldn't do it. So it tells you about the character of the woman also, that there is a certain kind of streak there of arrogance. And, you know, so in terms of it being an affirmative action position nomination, for somebody that hasn't really worked hard in order to get it, it makes absolute sense.
I don't know if I would say this is affirmative action pick. She is the governor of a state, and she has done that for 2 years. But I'm just surprised that the John McCain campaign would leave themselves vulnerable to the outcome of this investigation. We have all watched investigations over the last few years where the person said they were innocent. I mean, just, you know, recently Kwame Kilpatrick said he didn't lie under oath. They did an investigation on that, and we're seeing what happened. So why would he leave his campaign so vulnerable to the outcome of this in perhaps what's going to happen in October surprise, which could affect the election?
Mm-hmm. Rob, do you think this idea of an October surprise is even a possibility?
Well, it's possible, but it's not likely. Just if I could revisit one last thing, I want to say that this is, I think, the GOP commentary of what they think of affirmative action when I say that. I don't think that she's qualified. I think that they think inherently that's the reason why affirmative action is flawed and quotas are flawed, which I disagree with wholeheartedly. I don't think that they're flawed, but this is a critique of what they think of affirmative action. I think it's a little silly, and it's going to get them in trouble, but I think it's unlikely that things will change in October.
I agree with that. I mean, in a way, if you think about it, the fact that they chose somebody who is so to the opposite of somebody like Hillary Clinton just tells you, you know, the lack of understanding of, you know, that particular demographic that supported her. Just because they picked a woman, it doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, most women are going to vote for her. So, yeah, I absolutely agree with that.
All right, I want to get Kimberly back into this, but we're going to have to wait until after a break. Stick with us, guys. We're going to have more with our beloved bloggers on News and Notes. Plus, author and law professor Stephen Carter tells us about his new novel, Palace Counsel, and how he juggles two careers. You're listening to News and Notes from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this and other NPR stations. And from the Ford Foundation, a resource for innovative people and institutions worldwide, on the web at fordfound.org. From the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live a healthy, productive life. Details are at gatesfoundation.org. And from the Gruber Family Foundation for support of NPR's international coverage. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. The Sarah Palin ethics investigation continues in Alaska. We've talked a bit about that, but that is not the only issue in politics. We also want to talk about Senator John McCain going on The View. Plus, students and folks who have lost their homes to foreclosure in key swing states might face unforeseen barriers to voting in November. Here with a look at what's bubbling up in the blogosphere, we've got Kimberly Coleman. She blogs at Sister Girl Speaks Up at .blogspot.com. I'm going to get that right. Liza Saboteur, publisher of the community blog Culture Kitchen, and Rob Redding, publisher of the Redding News Review, an online news journal. So, guys, we're going to hop back in. We talked a bit about Sarah Palin. Now we're going to talk about Senator John McCain, her running mate. He recently stopped by The View, where he looked a little less than at ease.
There are ads running from your campaign. One of them is saying that Obama, when he said you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig, was talking about Sarah. There's another ad that says that Obama was interested in teaching sex education to kindergartners. Now, we know that those two ads are untrue. They're lies. And yet you, at the end of it, say, I approve these messages.
Actually,
do you really approve them?
Actually, they are not lies. And have you seen some of the ads that are running against
me? By the way,
me?
You yourself but said the same thing about putting lipstick on a pig. You yourself used the
same
expression.
I was talking about a health care plan.
Yeah, but he talked about change.
No, he wasn't
talking about Sarah Palin.
Okay.
Well, Kimberly, you know, there has been somewhat of a shift in Barbara Walters' role.
Mm-hmm.
She
mm-hmm.
was seen as the hard news journalist and then someone who invented this fabulously popular but, you know, often lightweight or entertainment-oriented show. And boy, was she back in the hot seat.
Yeah, I was very surprised at how they came at him. I happened to be home on Friday, and I saw the entire show, and I was very surprised. But what more importantly what surprised me is John McCain's insistence that Barack Obama called Sarah Palin a pig. I mean, that incensed me very much. I don't know if anyone else caught that. We still live in America, and to think that a black man, an intelligent black man who's Ivy League educated, will call this woman, who he is a father, a husband, dedicated, would call a woman a pig, I was very incensed by that. That says to me that John McCain doesn't think very much of Barack Obama as a person. And I was very incensed by that comment.
Rob, do you think that this is a bit of a transition, but some of Barack Obama's supporters have been really annoyed, saying that he's not going after the Palin-McCain ticket hard enough? And do you think that this whole idea of what a black man can or cannot do in politics is part of that?
Well, I think that he's going after Palin in particular way too hard. And I think, and that's not meaning that I'm falling into that trap of believing that this comment is actually about Palin, but I think that he should do more attacking of John McCain, less attacking of the VP pick. I don't think he's constrained because he's black. I think this is a situation where the McCain folks are trying to use the whole Hillary crying game that we saw in New Hampshire against Barack by trying to galvanize whites against him in that regard, and saying this black guy called this white woman who we view as somewhat attractive. I'm not sure what circles some people travel in, but for some reason she's viewed as attractive by some people. I don't particularly find her all that attractive, but you know, they say that, you know, it's one of those situations where he's demeaned our women and we have to protect our women, and it's one of those things I think that they'll try to capitalize on, unfortunately.
Liza, hold on one second.
Can I just say one more thing about Barack Obama attacking John McCain? I think you're absolutely right. He has to attack him, and he did have a new ad out saying that Barack Obama, that McCain is lying, and citing sources of Washington Post and New York Times. But he has to attack him without using beltway words. I have had more emails and phone calls from people asking me what earmarks are and these sort of things. Most people don't understand that, and the purpose of lobbying. People want to know kitchen table politics, about the economy, about gas, but not about lobbyists and earmarks. That's what Barack Obama, he needs to talk to people outside the beltway.
Right. Well, that was Kimberly, but Liza, your blog is called Culture Kitchen. I mean, what do people pay attention to in this message? You know, I've talked to a lot of Barack Obama supporters who are just supporting him because he's a black man. I'll be real about that. So what do you think people are using to make up? And certainly we've reported on white voters and other NPR shows have reported on white voters who would never vote for a black man. So what do you think is really driving people? Is it race? Is it gender? Is it personality, or is it policy?
With Barack, I think it's a mixture of everything. And, I mean, what's really interesting about him is, I guess, given that, you know, he's biracial, he has each foot in a different kind of perspective. And people are attracted to him because of that. He can speak and move in different circles at the same time. And I think that that's, you know, it's an advantage of not only his, you know, father and his mother, but also his upbringing. He's so cosmopolitan, and he has an amazing background in that respect. But really, and I think that really is what connects him to people, in the sense that people look at him as a real person, as opposed to, you know, some kind of abstract figure from Washington or some kind of abstract figure, you know, as a Second World War hero or Vietnam hero.
Well, Liza, I actually want to stay with you, but move on to another topic. We've only got a couple minutes here, but I want each of you to weigh in on this. It's the question of whether or not, if you are foreclosed on with your house, you could also lose your vote. A civil rights group called Project Vote has accused the head of Macomb County, Michigan, of the Republican Party, saying that they want election challengers to use a list of foreclosed homes to block people from voting on election day. Now, the twist on this is that party officials deny the strategy, saying that it's a fabrication. The person who wrote the story stands behind it, but the GOP has used election challengers in the past. We got to do a very simple, quick thumbs up or thumbs down. Liza, do you think election challengers are a good strategy?
For the GOP or for us? Yes, they do work, and that's the reason why we need to have more monitors and more people there to defend the rights of people to vote.
Rob, what do you think? Is this something that is a good strategy for the GOP, or do you think that it could backfire and there could be negative press?
It could backfire, but I'm for anything that allows people the right to vote, and that is the most important right given to us.
What do you think, Kimberly? Do you think that this is something where the GOP is being unfairly tarred and feathered?
Well, it'll depend on the outcome. I'd like to warn everyone that we're going to be up very late on November 5th, if that's the correct date. You're going to see a lot of challenging. They're already talking about that in some states, in Virginia, in Florida. There's going to be a lot of things that people are going to be reporting.
All right. Well, I want to thank the three of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Kimberly Coleman. She blogs at sistergirlspeaksup.blogspot.com. She joined us from our studios in Washington, D.C. Liza Sabatura is publisher of the community blog Culture Kitchen. She joined us from our studios in New York. And Rob Redding is publisher of the Redding News Review, an online news site.